on KMOX. Happy Friday. A few minutes past 3 p.m. Alvin Reed's here. Alvin, we were saying earlier in the show, we all love you, but we really love you because you're our Friday guy.
All right. So that when means it's Friday.
When we see you, we're like, hey.
Yeah, it's Friday.
This crap's almost over.
Well, I told you, I like waltzing here after you guys have had a hard week, and we just kind of, have a little good 15, 20 minutes, and I waltz right on back out. It's an easy gig, man. I ain't going to lie to you. Not easy, but all right.
Yeah. Always reminds me.
Of course, a tornado one time. And
that was crazy.
Sure.
That was crazy that you were able to like make it down, because a lot of people were having traffic issues. I remember Mahey was trying to make it to us that day, and he just couldn't. So
it was odd. I just happened to be, I was downtown, because I'm just coming from, you know, like West St. Louis. And like I said, as all good people do when there's a tornado about to rampage through town, I stopped and had a beer and went to the ATM machine. And I was mad at the people at the ATM machine over at Bank of America. It's like, why are all these cars parked underneath here? And then, you know, 10 minutes later, realized that, dude, a tornado is roaring through town.
Yeah. You're kind of an a-hole.
Yeah, pretty much. That's kind of how I felt about it once it was all said and done.
This is not what I plan on talking about, but I know that Alvin's into sports, and I think it's an interesting story. I think I know which way he's going to go and which way she's going to go.
Oh, okay. This is interesting.
But the WNBA is back in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark's been taking some hits.
Yeah.
Last night, I think it was last night.
Two nights ago, I think.
Had one of the players who kind of put her fist on her neck.
Yeah.
And it really does seem to me to be breaking down like racially, which is very sad to me. But, Rach, I bet you're going to say if the guys did this, it wouldn't even be a story, because guys can be rough and tumble. But if female sports people are rough and tumble, suddenly it's got to be drama.
Yeah, and then I do think it's just, Wheels has brought this up. Caitlin Clark has maybe brought in a new batch of fans to not just the WNBA, but to basketball. And maybe people who don't understand how rough it can be. And they look at the situation and they go, you're attacking Caitlin. And sometimes it is too far. Other times I think it's maybe an overreaction. But she's someone who has a microscope on her.
Yeah.
If it were any other given player, no, it would not be news. But it's news because it's Caitlin.
I'm interested in what you guys think about the facts of it. Like, oh, yeah, this is dirty, or no, it's just the way it goes. And then more just overarchingly how this is good or bad for the sport.
I think it is bringing an attention to the sport that, you know, to be notorious is not necessarily a bad thing in our language. To become a notorious gangster or notorious, you know, this or that, that has a negative connotation. But the original meaning of being notorious is just being noted. So in one way, that is a good thing. In other words, any press is good press, especially when you're the WNBA. It's breaking down politically, it's breaking down racially, and it's really not about those two things. It's about, like, basketball and, like, okay, shiny new toy. Basketball has been played in this league since, what, the 90s? And while we welcome the attention, this greatest thing since sliced bread rubs some people the wrong way. And, I mean, that's how pro sports are. I mean, that's, you know, there's people that can't stand Patrick Mahomes that are out there playing Patrick Mahomes. He hadn't done anything to him except go out there and win football games. But he said, you know, this pretty boy gets on my nerves, man. He's all just, right. And they, you know, you can't cheap shot him, but, you know, they put it this way. Nobody, there were a lot of players that lost no sleep over the fact that he got hurt and they had a terrible season last year. And so that's the nature of pro sports that I think, you know, as Rachel just said, there's some fans coming in who still think basketball is, you know,
set shots and Bob Cousy.
Yeah, right. If you touch somebody, it's a foul, and you still hold your hand up, you know, like when you foul somebody. Man, that day and age is over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a couple things, and it's most of it to me is that it's just 2026 and social media.
Yeah, I agree.
If we had Twitter and TikTok and all this stuff in 1992 when Michael Jordan was getting the crap beat out of him the very same way. Yeah. Or Larry Bird. I mean, if you go watch old basketball, they used to beat the hell out of each other. And it was never about, you know, white guy versus black guy versus white guy. It was always power challenging power. That's what it was. The up-and-comers were always challenging the top dogs, and a lot of times it meant physicality. Or it was the veterans challenging the young pups,
yes.
Right? When Michael Jordan was the young star taking over the league, the older players took it out on him. Now, you can argue that that mentality's wrong. I won't argue with you. I will not argue with you if you say that's stupid. But it's competitive sports. This happens in the NFL. This happens in the NBA, the actual, like the current NBA, not the old NBA. Players get challenged, especially new players with high profiles. I do think some of this stuff goes too far. And I do think the league is not good enough when it comes to kind of like enforcing penalties after the fact for someone putting a hand on a throat. Now, I know that was Alyssa Thomas that did that. There was a suspension for that, right?
Yeah, she got suspended.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, what do you expect? What else can the league do? I understand they say, you know, people that are new to the league. I saw a video from Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd has never talked about the WNBA before Caitlin Clark. Never. And now all of a sudden he's an expert on their officiating. Right. You know why? Because Caitlin Clark gets clicks.
Yeah.
Anything you put out there with her name gets engagement. So that's what all of these people are doing. That's what Barstool's doing. It's what Cowherd's doing. It's why this is a big story, because people are chasing clicks. I don't think the treatment is correct, just like it wasn't correct to do that to Michael Jordan. Remember when the All-Stars all iced Jordan
out?
Yeah,
they wouldn't pass him the
ball. They wouldn't pass him the ball. Now, that was not physical, but it was the same kind of thing. And keep in mind, if anybody watched, what was the documentary during COVID? Last Dance?
Oh, Last Dance.
If you watched that, you saw Michael Jordan getting the crap beat out of him and then learning, okay, I got to get in the weight room and get stronger so I can handle this, so I can now protect myself and so I can work through it.
Tell me the thing about the All-Stars. I didn't know this.
Oh yeah.
His first All-Star game, right?
His first All-Star game. Basically, Isaiah Thomas.
Larry Bird.
And Larry Bird. Said like,
they wouldn't pass him the ball.
They iced him out and just basically told him. Like,
same kind of thing. Welcome to the league.
Like, look, all this Michael Jordan is this, is Michael Jordan is that. And we've been knocking the crap out of each other for the last decade trying to win the championship. And then you had the Lakers, you know, that were nearing kind of like the end. So they were, you know, the Bulls and the Pistons were looking at each other like, you know, we're the heir apparent to being the champion of this league. And if you think we're going to let this punk steal our headlines and basically our money, like, it's not going to happen.
But the difference here now in 2026 and specifically with the WNBA is that now everything is political. What you have now are political commentators constantly talking about this because they get engagement from it and they can advance their political agendas, regardless of which side of it you want to take. That's what fuels this crap. If it was purely sports, nobody would care. Because, look, I'm not trying to be mean, okay? Statistically speaking, almost nobody watches the WNBA. When you compare it to the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, the league as a whole, not just Caitlin Clark gets ratings, and some teams do, but for the most part, if you compare their ratings to other sports, nobody's watching, comparatively speaking.
Right.
It's growing, though. It's good. It's getting better. It's actually like a product that's starting to sell itself and pay its own bills, which it didn't in the past. But this is all noise from the political side.
Well, so Brian on the stream is asking, like, who else besides Caitlin Clark is getting roughed up as much as she is? I'm going to be honest, I don't know the answer to that question.
All I know is what gets covered.
Yes, Caitlin Clark, they cover every breath this woman takes.
Right.
Like, she gets constant coverage. So anytime something bad happens, we see it and we go, oh my gosh, no one's getting this kind of treatment. I mean, can we name other, WNBA players besides like Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark?
No.
Who else do we know?
No, our young lady from St. Louis, who's the
Sophie Cunningham.
Sophie Cunningham. And then who plays for the Minnesota Lynx? I'm drawing a blank on her name. This is Nafisa Collier. Okay, she got hurt, knocked out of the playoffs, didn't call a foul on the woman who fouled her. They're irate, man. Like, she got knocked out of the postseason by what looked to be a dirty foul. So, I mean, it happens, it occurs, but, like, I guarantee you somebody got a rough foul put on them, what, this is Friday, on Wednesday night or Tuesday night. But it wasn't Caitlin Clark, and they just kept right on playing, and I think that's one of the things that, because throughout the league, you know, when they were signing this new, you know, CBA, which they did, the players wanted the commissioner fired because they think she's indifferent to the fact that they have some of the worst refereeing going on. And so the games are wildly out of control sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, Caitlin Clark is not the only person getting hard fouls put on her or anything like that. It's just that she has brought so many viewers and a new TV contract, not by herself, but I could understand why people look at it and say, like, oh, they're just picking on her because they're jealous of her.
Yeah.
Jealousy.
Well, they are.
Yeah, yeah, right.
There, I mean, look, there are a lot of realities in this. Like, yeah. There are a lot of truth. It's not one side or the other. Mm. The league's officiating, based on people who have followed the league for a long time, is not very good.
It's not very good.
Caitlin Clark is getting beat up. That's real.
Yes.
There are players in there that do it because they don't like her because she's stealing thunder.
Yes.
Because she's the focus that all these people are talking about, and they're all being ignored. Mm. That's terrible. That's not okay. It should be punished. The rules should be enforced correctly. We can say all of those things, and they're accurate. And we can also acknowledge that there are people that simply use Caitlin Clark's name to make money.
Oh, absolutely.
To get their engagement on social media and make money, and that's why this is a big deal.
I wish that she had not been drafted by Indiana. I wish that one of the larger markets had a horrible season and drafted her. I think it would be looked at differently. I honestly do. I think it's kind of like, you know, like, oh, the little sweet girl who plays for Indiana. Well, if you play for New York or Los Angeles, people say, like, hey, it's a rough and tumble world, lady. Mm. You know, I honestly believe that. It doesn't make any sense, but I honestly believe it depends on where you play. You know, she gets knocked down, dragged out, New York. The fans are saying, like, hit her back. But, hey, why aren't y'all attacking their team? Right. You know, like it's just sports, man. You know, like, and it's weird. It's kind of like, hey, you know, a lot of people don't understand. I've said this before, like, man, people talk about winning and people don't understand how hard it is to win a practice. Oh, this is such and such and such and such and all that. And I said, like, you know how hard it is to win an NFL football game? You know how hard it is to win 81 Major League Baseball games? You know, people just think that. They just don't put forth the effort. That's why they lose. Or the coach is terrible. Or this or that. Or, oh, they're just out there trying to kill, you know, her because she's better than everybody. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of dynamic going on during any, especially professional sporting event or game that I think that people who covered it, people who've been around it a lot, yeah, we'll tell you. So, like, man, there's a lot of stuff that people do not understand. They just turn the game on and watch it. And that's reality. So, like Will said, all this is true. You know, everything, that any angle, except for the fact that you have a lot of people who want to make it political, who want to make it race, because they make everything political and race, because that's how people listen to them on the radio or TV.
And it's back for New Orleans. 23 DGS, happy Friday to you. Alvin Reed is in. We're talking about Caitlin Clark and the drama that's going on in the WNBA and the player that put her fist on her neck and got suspended, and now it's like a race fight and a political fight. And Wheels brought up a good point, which is twofold. One, if you've watched at all, you know Caitlin Clark can be a bit of an a-hole.
And like every great player in every sport.
That's the second point.
Right.
If you think about it, we could do a Sweet 16 off the top of our head of great athletes who have been a-holes.
Yeah. What's got, when A.C. Green joined the Lakers back in the day, he said, like, man, Magic Johnson terrorized him. And they told him, he said, like, hey, look, either have your hands up and be ready for a pass, or he's going to hit you in the face with the ball, like, real hard. Right. And sure enough, like, for it's a room right in the face. Everybody's laughing.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, yeah, it's Michael Jordan hit Nash in the head with during practice. He did something to him. He just fired the ball and hit him in the head with it.
Yeah.
Like, as hard as he could.
Yeah.
You're like, you know, they're jerks.
Larry Bird, man.
Right.
One of the, I mean, again, nobody ever called him a dirty player, although he was at times, just like that era, because that era guys were physical and dirty a little bit. His was more subtle, right? He'd, like, get underneath your legs and then back out and let you fall, that kind of stuff.
Can I tell you something? Is it a 30 for 30, the one about Bird and Johnson? Or
yeah.
Is it the whole?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, there's that Celtics-Lakers show, Showtime, that was on HBO. There's an entertainment version of it.
No. The one
there's
I
the
saw
documentary.
Was him being interviewed.
Oh, yeah. And it's excellent.
I cried.
It's so good.
I'm not afraid to tell you, I cried.
It's excellent. Because just that the 84, 85... and then 87, and just through those years, and when they're talking about it, how you know, they were just saying, like, listen, we knew that it was, you know, basketball. Lakers, Celtics, we wanted to beat each other. But it became something else.
And
both these teams had to acknowledge that it was something else. You know, which guy told a story, he's like, man, we would be in Boston. Like, man, and black dudes coming up to us in Boston said, man, we want you to beat them. But we can't stand this. You know, like, you're talking about their own city. And then Casey Jones and Robert Parrish are like, they're saying, like, man, what? We ain't black people no more. Where did the dynamic change? Like, most of the guys on the court for our team are black. We got a black coach, but
if that story happened now, though, if the Bird magic thing happened now, it would be like this Caitlin Clark. Right.
It would be
nonstop political warfare.
Right. And I will say this. The reason that was so widely watched was because it was two excellent basketball teams.
Well,
there was a lot of peripheral, but when they reached the finals, it was like, it was something special because they were two special teams.
Well, it was a clash of eras too, right?
You're right.
Because the Celtics at that time represented the older school style of play.
Right. Yeah.
And the Lakers were Showtime, fast break, the modern style of game for that time. And it was all of that played into it.
It's a great example of how we have been changed by society.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because I was in law school during that time. I was real into it. I was real into the Celtics. And of course, the black dudes would give me trouble, and I'd give them trouble. But then we'd go have a beer.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, you're so right. If Bird, Johnson, Celtics, Lakers happened today, it would be the biggest thing.
It would be somewhat wrecked by social media.
Yeah.
Instead of just being able to enjoy it. And then.
Well, and also, like, not just social media, but also, like, 24-hour television.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Because you got to have hot takes about everything to keep eyeballs on you.
Right. And then by the time they played in 87, there was this tremendous respect for each other. You know, I think 84 and, you know, hey, like, they really did 85, then, you know, our Lakers got even. And then 87, it was just like, this is like, you know, Ali Frazier 3. This is kind of like, look, this is for the heavyweight championship of ourselves.
Yeah.
Never mind all the black, white, and all that. Let's just, this is going to be, whoever wins this series is going to be the one that will be remembered as getting the best of the other one. Yeah. So.
Brought to you by the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Center. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Oh, God.
What's wrong?
Oh, drama on the stream.
They're talking about getting banned.
Look, I'm just trying to do you guys a favor, okay? Mitch, Vic, who's already been banned once today. This is an Andrew issue. Andrew is drinking zero sugar energy drinks. Zero sugar means zero patience. So don't test him today.
That is a great way of putting it.
Yes.
Zero sugar means zero patience.
That's right. You don't owe anything to anybody since you're doing zero sugar.
And I also just think it's funny. I just like doing it.
He has the power.
Like these
He's
two are
masters of the universe. He's He-Man. I have the power.
These two are yapping back and forth, and I just kind of want to like ban them both again.
He just pulled just out the Sesame Street aliens.
That's funny. Dana, how's your
like
week,
having
man?
The ability to just cut people off mid conversation and just stop them?
No, it is just ban like them both. Me.
Well, so I was the words were already coming out.
Why did I hang up on Dave back years ago?
I don't know.
Remember that, Dave? You made me so mad I hung up on you, and you called back and I hung up again.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was about.
It wasn't that long ago. I think we were in this building. So I think it was like since 2018.
Yeah, Mark Close will remember. He's got nothing else going on in his life. He'll remember that.
He's not here.
Well, I know how to get in touch with him.
He's going to be like, brother, I don't remember.
Okay, so weather's always important, but this weekend with the Cardinals and the rain and the heat coming and everything, like it's on everyone's mind.
Got lots to talk about here. Okay, we still have showers and thunderstorms around. Very scattered. The heaviest rain is going to be to our south. I would say 30 miles south of downtown St. Louis, but it's scattered. And it's fading as we go through the night and really the evening, too. But there will be scattered showers and thunderstorms around. If you get under a storm, there'll be a heavy downpour. It's not a severe setup. 70 for the low. Saturday, partly sunny. Going to keep the chance of a shower or a thunder shower. But I think most of Saturday is dry, rain-free. 89, but you're going to notice that humidity coming back. Saturday night, partly cloudy, very humid, very warm, 73, nothing more than a spot thunderstorm. Again, think mainly dry. Sunday, here comes summer. It's sunny, it's hot, it's humid. 95 for the high on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I don't see any reason not to include the holiday weekend at this point. Sunny, hot, and humid with building haze all of next week. 98 for the high. Now, the records next week are 101 to 105. So we're not talking record heat. 4th of July record is 105 from 2012. 2012 was a beast of a summer in St. Louis. Just in July, there were 8 record highs in 2012. What made that unusual, it was a dry heat from the southwest. It wasn't our humid flow from the Gulf of Mexico. So temperatures just went wild during 2012. It really was. And nighttime temperatures didn't cool at all. And the full moon is coming up late Sunday night, early Monday morning in June. It's known as the full strawberry moon.
Hmm.
Buy some strawberries.
Is there a full moon that's just a moon these days?
No.
Okay.
No, because the names of the moon, it's all from Indian lore. Mm-hmm. It's very old. Now, when you start talking about, the monster moon or the very bright moon. Yeah, come on. Stop it. Just stop that stuff.
I like the monster moon.
The monster moon.
I've never heard of that before. When are they going to bring out the Godzilla moon?
Oh, I'm sure it will happen in our lifetime.
Rach, we're going to do Flashback Friday, right?
Yeah, because headlines is political. And you know what? We've been having such a fun show.
Yeah.
Let's just have fun. Let's go all the way back.
Headlines were just going to be all of Rachel's most dramatic political takes.
All of my hottest, most cancelable takes. 740.
Wait, I'm sorry to interrupt you again. I don't know if we can let Mitch's last comment go without some sort of retribution.
Yeah, that's fine.
Which one?
He says the Murray Moon.
That's something else.
There he is.
That's funny.
Look at that. Right, he's out of here. Get your picture up.
He's been
gone.
No.
He's toast.
Oh, man. Nice.
He's fine for now.
Yeah. We let him. Okay. Well, Andrew showed mercy.
That's
yeah.
what you get for trying something out. We don't like that.
We don't like creativity.
We don't like that.
We don't like unique, interesting people who aren't in this room.
Yeah, send it to us privately so one of us can take the credit.
One of us can say it. Would they be the
He's
Murray
still
moon?
Here. It didn't work.
Oh, I didn't ban him.
Oh, okay.
I didn't ban him.
Whew. Okay. That was a close one.
Now it feels like he wants it, right?
He's, yeah, I know.
So
yeah,
there's right. a bit. It's a bit of a struggle, right? Because they're trying to take the power away from me by being interested in it.
Yes.
What they don't understand is that whether you want it or not, it still feels good. It still feels good to disintegrate you from existence for like 30
just
seconds.
Because you like the spankings doesn't mean you don't like giving them.
Precisely.
That went a little weird.
Yeah.
That's a
Okay, 742 years ago.
I hope he likes it that much.
In 1284, I'm just going to power through. According to Grimm's fairy tale, this was the day that the Pied Piper led the children out of Hamelin, Germany.
I love that story.
So the townsfolks didn't pay him for leading the rats out of town, so he abducted the kids.
Wait.
Great story.
That was Germany?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I always think the Pied Piper was Ireland?
No, that's just really people.
You're thinking of St. Patrick who drove the snakes from Ireland.
No, that's not what I was thinking of. I just thought that...
Hey, we know what you're thinking of.
Yeah. And I just was wrong.
I'm reminded of that audio from New York when they were having the rat problem, and that woman was like, the rats don't run this city. we do. That's what they were saying. That's what the Pied Piper said. 207 years ago, it was 1819, and William Clarkson Jr. patented the bicycle in the United States.
Hmm. 1819.
Mm-hmm. 196 years ago in 1830, King George IV, England's fattest king, died at the age of 67. For breakfast, he would eat two pigeons and three steaks and wash them down with a bottle of wine, a glass of champagne, and several glasses of brandy.
I mean, you're the king.
That would stink to have your legacy be England's fattest king.
Isn't it funny, too? Like, back then, kings ate pigeons, and now you'd be like, what kind of weirdo are you if you're eating pigeons?
Followed by three steaks. Yeah. 51 years ago in 1975, Sonny and Cher divorced after 11 years of marriage. And I did not know this. 4 days later, Cher married Greg Allman.
I didn't realize it was 4 days.
No, I didn't.
What in the world?
Either. Interesting.
That was a long-lasting one, too, I think.
49 years... Take that, Cher. 49 years
ago. She's catching strays.
She's listening right now.
I mean, she picked Sonny. Yeah. What was that all about?
Well, she was like 16.
Oh, that's true. Maybe picked is not the right option.
She was victimized.
She was maybe chosen.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about happier topics. Oh, this one isn't happier. 49 years ago in 1977, Elvis Presley made his last concert appearance at the Market Square Arena in Indianapolis. His final song was Can't Help Falling in Love. He died 7 weeks later.
Hmm.
Sorry, 45 years ago in 1981, For Your Eyes Only was released, starring Roger Moore as 007 and featuring a theme song by Sheena Easton.
What year was that?
1981.
That might have been the first Bond movie I ever saw, like, in a theater or at a drive-in.
This is the coolest thing ever?
I did. I loved it. It was like, this is amazing.
I was watching something, I think it's probably TikTok, but it was about Sean Connery, speaking of 007, and talking about his very controversial interview remarks about smacking women. Yeah. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remembered it because, you know, the classic, like, a woman needs slap you, slapper, you know, like, we all know that one from SNL. But I had forgotten just how crazy it was.
Mm-hmm.
When they asked Sean Connery, he's like, oh, yeah, some women are just asking for it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And then years went by and they're like, hey, remember that thing he said? And he goes, oh, yeah. Totally true.
Yeah, he didn't walk it back.
And I stand by that.
Yep.
He totally did. Yep. He totally. And today, like, if you say to most people Sean Connery, they're like, oh, he was the best. Fantastic. Best James Bond ever.
Hunt for Red October.
Daniel Craig's the best James Bond.
I agree with that. Oh, you'd see who is going to be the new Jason Bourne?
No.
Zendaya.
Okay. I'm going to have a little harder time buying a 104-pound person beating the crap out of people. But
also, she's like 25 years old.
Yeah. Not that Matt Damon's like any like imposing physical character, but yeah. I always have that issue. I have that same issue with Timothy Chalamet when he's in stuff. Like,
he's
you see the movie The King?
Yes.
It's a good movie, actually. But like, he looks like a 4-year-old walking around in armor fighting some giant dude, and somehow he wins. It's like, okay, buddy. I'm sure that happened.
Okay, let's go on to 1981. Magic Johnson signed a 25-year, $25 million contract extension with the LA Lakers.
25-year, $25
million?
Mm-hmm. Wow. $1 million.
What year was that, Rich?
81.
That was a big deal then.
Yeah.
I mean, For Your Eyes Only was in theaters.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, like $1 million a year was like crazy at that time.
Sure.
In any sport.
Also in 1981, Stripes was released, starring Bill Murray.
Who's your buddy?
It's great.
Who's your pal?
That's a great flick.
Just great.
39 years ago, 1987, Full Metal Jacket was released.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
It's a good movie.
I mean, it's super disturbing, but it's a great movie.
That's one of those for me that if I'm just flipping around and it's on,
gotta watch.
It just stays on.
Gotta watch. Every character is good.
Yeah.
Like, every character is good.
Yep.
Okay, I have two more really quick ones I want to do because we've just talked so much basketball this hour. 30 years ago in 1996, Allen Iverson was the top pick of the NBA draft.
All right.
Went to the 76ers. That same year, Kobe Bryant was 13th for the Charlotte Hornets before they traded him to the Lakers.
Yep.
And Steve Nash went to the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, the Kobe thing was interesting at the time. Well, first of all, Kobe was a high school player. So he wouldn't have been like where Iverson was a seasoned college player and had the bigger reputation. But there was also the worry about Kobe not being willing to sign with anybody because everybody kind of knew he wanted to be with the Lakers.
Mm.
So it kind of he would have gone higher had that not been the case.
And then 23 years ago in 2003, LeBron James was drafted to the Cleveland Cavaliers as the first pick in the NBA draft.
What a career. Like I know he's like, think of it this way, man. Like we were just talking earlier and you, I don't know if you heard it, Dave, but like how the players, everything, the more modern it gets, the more hate there is, the more divisiveness there is with players. If he happened in like the 1980s, he'd be Magic Johnson. He'd be one of the most popular names, and everybody now, you just have to hate people because that's what you do.
Thanks, Dave.
Welcome back, DGS. George Mahey is on his way. He will be here at the top of the hour. Cardinal Report is sponsored by Rawlings. Visit the Rawlings experience at Westport. Dude, I'm like 3 weeks away from getting my custom gloves.
Nice.
Excited. Question.
Yes.
Even with the year he is having, did we make a mistake moving Golding? Did we only make a mistake in hindsight? Or was it worth getting rid of the salary?
There's no mistake. It was the smart baseball move. It was the smart payroll move. And I'm happy. Like for those that aren't tracking it, like Goldie's having a really nice year for the Yankees.
Really nice.
But keep in mind that last year he didn't really do that great. Like last year he was more like what he was in St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
which was okay. He was never terrible here. But the last year was kind of shaky. But he's bounced back this year, and give him a lot of credit, give the Yankees credit. They brought him back with the idea that he'd be a part-time player. Mm-hmm. But because Giancarlo Stanton is hurt and Aaron Judge is hurt, there's been an opening for him, and he's played really well. But they shouldn't have gone back. I mean, like, that's a position that Burleson needs to be playing, and he's doing just fine. Like, Burley's been one of the most productive first basemen. You've not missed Goldschmidt, I guess is what I'm saying, and that's not a knock on Goldie. It's more about how you replaced him and where you're going.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's great that Goldie's having a nice, what will end up probably being a final chapter. If it's not this year, just like his last chapter in New York, he's doing great. He's helping a good team. It's awesome because he's a great guy. But this team doesn't need Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, Herrera and Burleson take the spots that he would take.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Are you satisfied with the way we're playing the catchers that we have?
Yeah, right now it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, Jimmy Crooks needs to be better than he's been, but obviously it's not been very long, so you've got to let him have some run to do it. Herrera, you know, I don't love Herrera as a catcher, but I don't hate it either. It's kind of a Switzerland thing for me. Like, he's not a good thrower, but it doesn't seem to be harming them that much, so as long as it's not harming you very much, you don't worry about it.
What is the problem with just saying, you are such a good hitter, you're going to be our Kyle Schwarber?
Two things. His age, you don't want to be pigeonholed as a DH when you're 24. Because that will really hurt your free agent value down the road, right? That will hurt your earning power. So it's for the player, that's part of it. And for the team, let's just say at some point you decided we're going to trade Ivan Herrera. Well, he's way more valuable as a catcher. And the offense he gives you, even if it's only a couple days a week, is really valuable at a position where most teams don't get offense from it. So there's some draw to it.
Okay.